just creating things. I've always had a knack for that. And I would always tell other people, oh, this would be so good for you. You should create that business. And then I realized, oh, I'm actually pretty good at coming up with these high concepts. Maybe I should do it myself.
Welcome to the Women on the Move podcast from JPMorgan Chase. I'm Sam Saperstein. Women on the Move is a global initiative designed to empower female employees, clients, and consumers to build their careers, grow their businesses, and improve their financial health. Each episode will feature successful and inspiring women who are breaking the mold. They're sharing their career journeys and leadership lessons, talking about their professional and personal goals, and making a difference in the lives of others. This season, I'm taking you to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where I caught up with many of the women who inspire me every day. Today's guest is someone you know well from the world of dance. Julianne Hough is a dancer, Emmy-winning choreographer, actress, and singer. She's also the founder of Kinergy, an exercise program designed to revitalize the body and mind through movement, breathwork, and visualization. Julianne calls it the soul cycle of dance. So thank you so much, Julianne, for being with us
thank
on our
you.
Women on the Move podcast. And welcome to Davos.
Yes, this is my first year, and we were just talking before how it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but I'm kind of into it. You can feel the energy and the change that people want to not just create and make, but that they all feel collectively a part of, which is really cool.
So you've been an entertainer for a long time, obviously dancer, singer, actor, this triple threat that we know of. Tell us about how you've got to this stage in your career, with the hard work you put in, and kind of what even drives you today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I'm the baby of five kids, so I was very lucky to observe a lot and be very driven at a very young age to know what I wanted and to see how I could get there. I don't know how I was gifted with that ability, but I knew that I was fearless. And so at 10 years old, I moved away from my family and moved to London and lived with my dance coaches.
And so young.
Yeah, I mean, as a 31-year-old with no children, I don't know if I could do that, you know? So it was always in my blood to grow and evolve and perform. And as I evolved and continued to do championships and win all these different competitions, because it was very athletic as well as expressive and creative, I realized that if I don't change my path at 15, I'm going to continue doing this, and I want so much more. I want to act. I want to sing. And so I moved to Los Angeles when I was 18, and I just had these goals, and the goals were big dreams, but somehow I achieved them. At 12 years old, I used to create these time frame. So at 19, I'm going to be a singer.
Wow.
I mean, it was very shallow at the time, but at 18, I'm going to be famous. At 19, I'm going to be a professional singer. At 21, I'm going to be in my first movie. And all of those things happened. And so cut to when I was 24, I stopped making those goals and those dreams. And what I realized too is that I've been an achiever my whole life. And I achieved everything, but I had a lack of fulfillment. And so at 24, my whole life turned around. And it went from achieving and gaining these goals to, why am I doing this again? I forgot why I started dancing and singing and acting. I'm kind of doing it just for what's next, and success. But what does that even mean? And so at 25, I decided to reevaluate what my purpose was. Why am I doing this? What is the intention behind it? And I realized I didn't have a lot of depth to my intention. It was just to be those things and do those things. So cut to now, you know, the last few years, I've really tapped into why I'm here, why I do what I do. That, oh, that's what you're supposed to do for the first 30 years of your life. You're supposed to figure out who you are. And it's pretty egocentric, but then something happens and there's a shift happens, and it just happened for me a couple years ago where it's like, oh, my life is now about service and contribution of everything that I've learned and gained, and how do I pay it forward?
What do you think it was? So when you were 25 at that age, what do you think it was that made you come to that realization? Had you, you know, just achieved your goals and it was sort of the next thing to think about, or did something click in you?
It was that I was never satisfied. And hey, that did me a great service because
kept
I kept going.
Yeah.
And everything that I've done, I don't regret any of it because that was what worked for me at that time. But I was definitely doing it out of a survival tactic of fight or flight. I was fighting. And I was doing it to prove myself. And at 25, I remember my brother actually asked me to go to a Tony Robbins seminar. And at first I was like, wait, that guy from Shallow Hal, that movie, you know, from 1996, what? And I kind of resisted it a little bit, but it was important to him. So I was like, okay, I'll go for like a day. When I went, I was blown away by how much I was doing what I was doing in order to prove myself and be validated by everyone else. And then when that started coming into my awareness, I lost a lot of my drive because my drive was built off of everyone else's approval.
Pleasing other people. Wow.
And like I said, it was not my choice to go to Tony Robbins. I was kind of like, I fell into it.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I realized, wow, my whole life purpose is going to shift now. So from that point, I just started like learning and growing and asking more questions of why we do what we do and what is the impact behind it versus what I can get out of it, what can I give?
I'm curious how that changed your relationships with your family. I mean, your family is, as a whole, you individually, obviously, and your siblings, so successful in all each different ways. And so you look at that and think, wow, your parents were doing something right. But as you're saying this to me, so much of it was coming from your own drive. So I'm wondering, when you had that realization and this big change for you, how did that change your family relationships?
Oh, absolutely. It's still changing. It's still evolving because, you know, at some point, whether we like it or not, we are building and learning conditions and belief systems that aren't necessarily our own. So as a child, you grow up totally free because, you know, you can throw a tantrum, you can do whatever you want because you're not thinking of, oh, is this person going to get mad at me, until somebody does get mad at you or something happens or you go time out. And so all of a sudden now our belief systems and our conditioning is built off of someone else's. So right now, I believe we're in a time where people are starting to unplug from that old paradigm of what other people's conditions and belief systems are. And in the workplace, you know, of like what has been expected, and now we're shifting that. And so unplugging from those belief systems and conditions from my family, it can be pretty lonely, you know, because it's like, well, who do you think you are?
Right.
But with that being said, removing and delayering all of those survival tactics that were really amazing to get me to where I'm at, getting back to the truth of who I am and what I want to believe in, and actually planting a flag of what I stand for, not necessarily what my culture or social environment or my religious background or whatever it is has conditioned me to experience, but actually figure out what it is that I believe. And by the way, I can believe in all of those same things that my family taught me, but it's coming from my truth, not just because I was taught that.
And does that whole feeling, I mean, it seems very liberating, enable you to enjoy things in a different way or pursue new things that you weren't before?
I have so much more presence and connection to little moments. I would have these big achievements and I would just go on to the next thing the next day. And now I get really excited if I go into like a public restroom and there's like the one that has the sink in the private one, you know, and I get
those and are the
like,
moments.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I love that, you know. And so I just have space now for celebrating the little moments. And when that happens, I believe, and this is part of what, you know, my company is all about, is raising the vibration that you put out into the world, and it's coming from a pure intent and encoded energy that is all about anything is possible and I want to make all of my decisions and my choices when I'm in that state.
I love that. Okay, so tell us about Kinergy.
Yes.
How did this company come to be? How'd you name it, by the way? And what is its goal?
The elevator pitch that I give to people about what Kinergy is in the short version is that it's SoulCycle for dance. It's a 45-minute class. You go in, you know what you're going to get, and you leave feeling great. So Kinergy stands for kin, which is family, tribe, community. Kinder, which is about being a child again. Kinetic, kinesthetic, which is movement, and energy. So when we connect all of those things, we really connect the mind-body energetic expression. In the 50s, we were really focused on the physicality of our physical body. That was like the Weider brothers. And that was the wave, that was the movement of getting physical. We're now in this wave of mental health and really connecting what that means and connecting the two. And where I believe we're heading is energetic health. Because when you raise an energetic vibration, it's in physics, so it's not this woo-woo hippity-dippity thing, you know. It is scientifically proven. When you actually raise the vibration in a room, in your body, whatever it is, you can have the ability to change your reality. When you have a low vibrational state and you feel stuck and heavy, change cannot be made.
That's fascinating. I feel like I must feel that intuitively all the time, but never sort of the way you described it.
Well, now we're creating language for it, which has never really been the case. So with Kinergy, because I've been a dancer my whole life, I realized that by me moving my body gave me that energetic vibration, that high state of energy, but I didn't know I had it. So now we're combining the mindset, the body, and the energy at the same time. So it's movement, breath, and visualization to help us create that energetic flow. And when that happens, it really is a self-discovery platform for people to connect to their truth. And when they can do that, they can relate and see the people around them without separation or division. And then when that happens, we can actually experience the world how it's meant to be experienced, which is love. Oh. And when that can happen, anything is possible.
That is amazing. How will you take this out as a business? So what does this look like? Is it a studio in LA or somewhere else? How will people actually do this?
Absolutely. Well, we have different phases. So our phase one right now is to activate people's imaginations. So we're on tour right now with Oprah.
Great.
And we're going to, you know, arenas with 15,000 people.
Amazing.
And getting them to experience. It's one thing to see and hear about something, but to experience it, that's what creates a raving fan. So we're going around this year and activating people's imaginations and their curiosity. And then we plan to do pop-ups around the U.S. and Europe. During that time, we are building a digital platform so that people can also not just receive the classes, but really the philosophy behind it. So we also have this blueprint, an elemental blueprint that is specific to Kinergy that you take that really gives you your order in which you show up in the world. And so we can supplement and give you access and tools that are specific to you. If you're going into an interview, these are the two elements that you need to connect to. Here's a breath pattern that you can do. Or, hey, I'm going to go and see my mother-in-law. I need to get super grounded. You know, I need to get super grounded so that I don't get triggered. Here is the scent that you need to wear. Here is the movement that you should do to just build that boundary for yourself.
Wow. That's very practical. I've never heard
educational.
Of bringing those elements together for these real-life situations.
It is. So this is a lot of modalities that I've been working on my whole life and bringing together to create the Kinergy philosophy. And so there's different things to supplement the actual service and the products that we'll be giving and offering people. We also, this is what really excites me too, is obviously we'll be doing brick and mortar studios because it's an experiential thing.
Right.
But we also are wanting to work with corporations to offer them and their employees a way to express themselves so that when they come into work, they have clarity, they have purpose, they have creativity and innovation, And that way their efficiency is so strong because they can become energy rich.
Yes.
Instead of feeling energy poor and then wasting energy trying to just get to ground zero.
Right, right.
So,
and think about all the conflict that you generally sometimes have in the workplace. How can you diffuse that and make people work better with each other?
With each other, with yourself, and also just when we think of healthcare, like how can we provide people with real change? Let's go from the inside out. Let me try a holistic approach first of like, what are my emotions manifesting in my physicality and in my sickness? Because I know there is research, and people will tell you that if you're tired or if you are dispersing energy in a different way, it can manifest in illness.
And poor health.
And poor health. And so if we can really take care of ourselves from the inside out, we can minimize.
And without medication. I mean, it's such a beautiful organic way of doing it.
Yes.
And so through the company, are you thinking about dance classes, but dance classes and more? You know, the way you talk about the visualization and the mind and the breath work seems like so much more than a dance class that you're just going to sweat at. So how do these things come together in an experience?
It's taken a long time because it's the philosophy behind it.
Right.
It's change the way you move, change the way you think, change the way you feel, and change your life. And when we have these trainers and these guides that we've really accumulated and adopted all these different modalities and connect to something of creativity and abundance like they've never experienced before. And it's a form of expression. So we've been working with a neuroscientist as well, Wendy Suzuki. You know, we want to put science behind this and we want to be able to measure this, that this isn't something that's just, oh, cool, we feel cool,
right, we feel great.
No, we're actually building new connectors in our brain and building new brain cells because exercise, but specifically dance, is the number one thing that you can do to build new brain cells.
I did not know that.
Yes.
So that's a very important form of exercise.
Very important form. Because it evokes emotion, and motion and emotion connected, that's actually what creates those new connectors.
Now, when you were dancing growing up, did you feel that same mental connection to it? You know, how important was that for you, whether you knew this or not, to your mental state?
So I did not make that connection, but I will tell you now that I'm looking back and I do have the science and knowledge behind it, dance completely saved my mental health.
How?
Because I had a lot of trauma growing up with abuse, and I didn't have a form of expression verbally to communicate what I felt because of the repercussions that would happen if I did. And so that gave me a lot of fear. It gave me a lot of doubt and a lot of depression.
Oh my goodness.
And anxiety and all sorts of things. And I'm telling you this story because a lot of people go through lots of things and don't have an outlet of expression. But moving my body and moving that energy that could have therefore been stuck in my body and manifested as injury, as pain, as sickness, I was able to move and transform and still have a high vibration, even though I didn't verbally articulate what I felt.
So thank goodness it was there for you the whole time.
It was my superpower.
Right, mentally and in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to do this now in a specific form of dance? What kind of dance gives you that benefit?
So obviously, because I'm a dancer, we're saying that this is dance, but this is really just movement.
Okay.
It's follow-along movement, but it's very tribal Aboriginal movement, which is the way our human bodies were designed to move. So it's not choreography. You don't have to do a, you know, an eight count or anything like that.
So if you're not good at following the steps.
And that's the whole thing. It's not about being good or bad. It's not about perfection. It's about expression. So we use sound. We breathe. We're moving. We're connecting with the people in the room because that unifies us.
Yes.
And there's no mirrors. Because it's
not
about, again, doing it right or wrong.
Right.
It's just about how your body wants to be moved.
Contrast going on tour as a dancer with going on tour now with the business. What is the difference in the psychic energy you're deriving from this?
It's a completely different psychology. You know, before, and I've been on stages with 15,000 people, and there's usually a transaction of, let me perform and entertain you so that I get the validation back, or I am getting validation, so I'm going to push more. And it's a beautiful transaction, but it is something of that I give and they receive, and then they give and I receive. With the experience that I've had on tour with Oprah, I don't feel like it's transactional. Mm. It's co-created.
That is so different.
It's so different. I feel like I know every single person in that arena personally, intimately, because we are connecting and creating this energy together.
Right, right.
And shifting the energy, the vibration, whatever you want to call it, in that room. And our energetic aura, whatever you want to call it as well, is expanding and people are feeling it. So we're being able to see and understand people and love each other without even knowing them.
So is that a totally different physical feeling than you've ever had when you were dancing?
Yes.
It's remarkable.
It's
think
purpose.
That that's possible. Yeah.
It's purpose and it's fulfillment and it's the world I want to live in.
That's wonderful. So at some stage, before you actually started this company, did you ever think you would start a company and be an entrepreneur?
I have always been a creator. Yeah. And, you know, I attest that to my mother, who, like, played with us constantly. Mm. She always kept our imaginations flowing. And so just creating things, I've always had a knack for that. And I would always tell other people, oh, this would be so good for you. You should create that business or you should do that. And then I realized, oh, I'm actually pretty good at coming up with these high concepts.
Right.
Maybe I should
do it myself.
But that was a different transition. You know, I own my business of Julianne Hough, the celebrity and the actor and the artist. But having employees is a very different kind of leadership. And I have so loved being a student to learn how to be a leader.
I love that.
And it has transformed my life because it has made me super conscious to make sure my intent of how I lead is in the way that I would want to be led.
Yeah.
And that is the new paradigm of how business should be done as well.
And who are you learning from? Who's out there that you're talking to? Who's mentoring you? Are you learning how to run a business?
Well, first and foremost, being here in Davos, and especially in the Equality Lounge, and hearing these incredible women speaking, I told them all, I was like, you know, you are all my mentors without you even realizing, because I feel so lucky that I'm 31 years old, I'm transitioning into this new chapter of my life, and I am a student. First and foremost, I will be a student the rest of my life. And I'm sitting here taking notes, and people are paving the way for me to not make the, and I don't even want to call them mistakes, but just pathways.
Learning from them.
Yeah, just pathways that maybe didn't work. And so now I get to, you know, start from where they're at right now, which is my ground zero. And so a lot of these women here are my mentors and they don't even know. But Shelly Zales, for sure.
She's number one.
She's everybody.
Yes, and has brought us together in the Equality Lounge.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Julianne. Really nice to see you here.
You're amazing.
Thanks to Julianne Hough for sharing her journey, her inspirations, and her plans for the future of Kinergy. Thank you for joining us today. The mission of Women on the Move is to help women in their professional and personal lives. Our goal is to introduce you to people with great ideas, inspiring stories, and a passion to make a difference. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss any others. Thank you to our partners at the Female Quotient and Magnet Media for helping us tell these stories. For JPMorgan Chase's Women on the Move, I'm Sam Saperstein.